This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here tonight is Ian
and Jay Noon.
We spent the first hour doing a recap and an update on what's been happening with Jay and his family, his wife being charged with quote-unquote child endangerment for the dastardly so-called crime, even though there's no victim, of leaving a two-year-old strapped into a car seat in a car while she went into a store for less than 15 minutes, and there was climate control in the car, everything was all good, there was no danger whatsoever, but some busybodies called the cops, and now there's going to be a court case coming up on June 1st, by the way. I don't think we mentioned that. It is Concord District Court. If you're coming up here, if you're in the area for the upcoming Porcupine Freedom Festival event, you're here early by a couple of weeks, mark your calendar for, I believe, 8:15, if I recall correctly, Jay. Is that right? 8:15 in the morning?
That's generally when they have them set for, yeah.
Yeah, June 1st in Concord District Court. Hopefully there'll be a big turnout. I think there was a decent turnout for the arraignment, if I recall correctly.
There was.
And arraignments are usually pretty dull. But this trial should be very, very interesting because, number one, Jay, as our listeners who pay attention to what you have to say, would know you definitely aren't the typical courtroom participant. You're someone who not only do you know your rights, but you also have done a lot of research into some of the more, let's call it, obscure aspects of the sort of the court system. So it'll be interesting. And you're the husband, so even though you're not being charged personally in this, it is your wife. Obviously, you have the right to sit up there at that defense table with her, right?
Well, they didn't have a problem with me doing it last time.
Yeah, you should be fine.
So and from what I understand, that won't be an issue, which is pretty all right. And this judge, what's his name? Ryan C. Guptill. 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 I mean, what I've seen of him, he seemed to be pretty all right. I mean,
he was an interesting character. Bonnie, she's got good gaydar. She thinks he might be gay based on some of the comments that he made. Like, he made a comment about he had to put on, like, a microphone at one point, and he made a comment about some pop star. Like, he felt like he was a pop star, and it definitely seemed like something that only some kind of flaming gay guy would do. So, strange character.
Good. I'm happy with whatever he does. I mean, as long as, you know, we should all be happy no matter what our desires are, as long as those desires don't hurt other people. And, some of my closest, friends are gay guys, and they're great. But I would also want to encourage some people to maybe write a letter to the judge. We'll just do the case number here real quick. Case is State versus Shallon Spaulding. So Spaulding probably doesn't get said too much on the radio here, but it's Shallon Spaulding. And its number is 429-2023-CR-00178, and that's a 6th District Court, Concord. And also, if you go to my website, jaynoon.com, that's jaynoone.com, within 24 hours, we'll have some stuff updated on that website to we'll give that information, some stuff about the case, and maybe some suggestions on, writing some legislature. We'll be working on that tomorrow morning.
All right, well, that's good. I think we got Rob on the line here in Vermont. I think he had some questions or comments. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for letting me speak. One thing I want to share with, and I think that's very important, is that the Attorney General's office has since updated the exculpatory evidence included. Some more officers' names have been brought to light. The one I'm looking for, James F. McLaughlin, has not been erased yet, but hopefully coming soon.
You're referring to the police, the list of corrupt cops or police with questionable issues that
Lori's
have been
list.
Brought forth. They call it the Lori list here in New Hampshire.
Exactly. And okay.
How do you get access to that, Rob? Do you know?
If you go to the Attorney General's website, the exculpatory secluded is in there. It'll have all of that in there.
Okay.
I can send you a link if you'd like.
That'd be great, Rob. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What else, Rob?
So is the trial you're going to have, is that going to be filmed, Jay?
Yeah, it'll be filmed as long as people show up there to film it.
I'm planning on being there.
Yeah,
I'll bring my camera.
Joe is going to come also.
Great. I really wish I could be there to be with you, but I also want to share with people that, you know, if you ever get accosted by these people, you make sure you know who you're dealing with. Make sure you get business cards, names, film them, whatever. Because these son of a bitches are sneaky and they're conniving. And they don't have a problem with sticking a knife in your back.
Yeah, that's
people do this. They do this for money.
Yeah, that's right. They're professionals at ruining people's lives. And one thing they're not used to is people who know how to stand up for themselves and know how to exercise their rights. People that understand that they are not obligated to answer their questions. Of course, the classic line that I am a big fan of is, I don't answer questions. Like, whenever a bureaucrat is talking to you, you are in danger. You know, the more things that you say to that person, the more jeopardy that you're putting yourself in, because you're essentially just giving them evidence to use against you. Even if you don't think you did anything wrong, there's all kinds of stupid laws out there that you may have violated without knowing. And the more you say to them, the more danger you're putting yourself in. So if you just get into the habit of saying, I don't answer questions, then it's a pretty safe move. Now, look, I'm not a lawyer. That's not legal advice. It's just what I would, you know, if I were in that circumstance. And I thought, because there's like a natural human tendency to want to say something back to a person.
Oh, yeah.
If another person says a thing to you, it's just natural to want to respond. So if you're going to respond, then rather than answering their question, you just simply tell them, I don't answer questions. And then if they ask you another question, you say, I don't answer questions. And they can keep going, and you just keep saying the same thing, and eventually they'll get the message that they're not going to get through with it. Also, Rob, your suggestion that people record these interactions, identify these bureaucrats, is very important. If you are able to get that camera out, everybody's got one now. If you've got a smartphone, you've got a video camera, know how to use the camera on that smartphone. If you've never done it before, go ahead and practice it tonight. Get it out now. Put that shortcut or whatever on your home screen so you know how to get to the camera real quick. Like some of the cameras, like the one I've got, the Motorola cameras or the Motorola phones, if you just twist it in the right direction.
They call that a gesture.
Yeah, gesture. Yep. It'll just pop up the camera no matter where you are, no matter what app you're in. It'll just jump that camera right up to the forefront. So if there's any kind of quickie shortcuts like that, you should learn about them. But otherwise, just pop that thing on the home screen, know how to get there so you can just load that sucker up whenever you get into, whether it's getting pulled over or bureaucrats show up at your front door or whatever. Get these people on the record. Most of these bureaucrats have never had to deal with that before. You probably will be the first person to ever record that bureaucrat when they encounter you, and they don't know how to handle it. It makes them very uncomfortable. It throws them off their game.
One of the things that we also need to do, too, is you should practice doing this, and you should maybe videotape a friend or somebody that you practice videotaping a friend, and have that friend sort of try to intimidate you and get in your face, because they are gonna try to bring an element of fear to you. I mean, these are
right.
They're
professional intimidators.
They're professionally irresponsible. Irresponsible being the quality. The quantity of not thinking or wanting, the quality of not thinking or worrying about the possible result of what you do.
No, they don't care.
That is the definition of irresponsibility. This is why I call these guys irresponsible parasites. And this decades and generations.
That's being nice. They could just be psychopaths.
Well,
right?
But I have the proof they're irresponsible parasites. I don't know if they're all psychopaths.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of them are. But when you have, for decades and generations, the culture of the state employee has been just allowed to be irresponsible and irresponsible because of this qualified immunity. Now, if anybody wants to look at a New Hampshire DCYF whistleblower, Ashley Rizzotto, or Rizzotti is her name. If you look up DCYF whistleblower NH, she pops up. Ashley, Martin and Hipple, the lawyers that are like kind of free stater lawyers or freedom friendly lawyers, they represented her in court and they got a settlement against the state because she was worked in DCYF and she whistleblew and they promptly fired her.
Wow.
And she basically said it's a whole go along the get along system. You just fall in line. And they talk about how so many people quit working for DCYF. All these like girls, all these young people who go to school to become a social worker. Well, they probably go to art school and then they, you know, decide they need to get a minor in social worker so they could get a government job.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, get really sick of it quick. They find out how gross it is and corrupt and they just quit. That's why their turnover is so huge. And this lady exposed a lot of this.
A couple other things I want to throw out there, and that is that, you know, if you're getting ready to, you're going to go to trial, you want to make sure that your attorney, that all exculpatory evidence is turned over. That is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that the prosecuting attorney, you know, inform you that all exculpatory evidence is available and it's all turned over. That's Brady v. Maryland law.
That sounds like another motion to write. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Anything else you want to share?
No. Thank you very much for taking my call. Good luck, Jay. I'm thinking about you, brother.
All right, brother. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name? Hello? Caller? I hear somebody.
They must not know we're here.
The interesting name on the caller ID, it's fsp.org. Sounds like somebody affiliated with the Free State Project.
I know who this is, and he's... Come on, buddy, pick up the phone.
He's got the phone connected, and we can hear him.
Put him back on hold. I'll message him real quick.
All right, so we'll try this one here. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Jay. Good evening.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, what's on my mind is I have issue with John McCain running for president, being that he wasn't free, and also the reasoning that allowed him to continue. But for the benefit of the listeners, briefly, I wanted to explain what this was all about long time ago. You see, when Thomas Jefferson became president in 1801, the very first thing he did, and he had ultimate power, he was Caesar, could do anything he wanted, is he said that you need to be free to become president. He did that to stop what he considered to be a dangerous man by the name of Alexander Hamilton, who was not. What did that mean? That means you had to be born here. Now, let's move on to John McCain, that being said. Now, he was born in the Panama Canal. Now, he already started his campaign. He was running for quite a while before somebody brought this up. And it went on back and forth for about a week. And it was really odd the way it was handled. And they said, okay, you're in the territory. You're good. Go ahead. I have issue with this. Because a good example is the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Now, they are a territory. They have a single non-voting representative in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, when it comes to federally, they have nothing. I mean, no money, no nothing. So this is not what Thomas Jefferson had in mind. He was looking at what we would call today the continental United States. It didn't really kind of exist, that term, yet. And I want to get your thoughts on it, especially, Jay, what I'm saying.
So let me just see if I'm following you. You're saying you don't think someone should be able to run for president if they were born in an American territory?
Right, because, you know, that's not what Jefferson had in mind, you know? I mean, that there was no such thing, you know? I mean, and the fact is, if you look at Puerto Rico, they have a non-voting representative, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They have no connection federally, really, in any way. you know, and that.
Well, they're definitely connected federally because they're a territory of the United States.
That's
I mean, they're essentially a franchise.
This is the issue I have with John McCain. That was the Panama Canal.
You said John McCain was born in the Panama Canal. That's not even a U.S. territory, is it?
Technically, it is, believe it or not. It's less than, like, the Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico. It's even less than that. They don't even have a voting, non-voting representative. That makes it even worse.
So just the canal itself is a territory?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's news to me.
True.
Have you ever heard that one, Jay?
I haven't, but there's all kinds of territories and possessions, and they sort of, like, change. Like, I think Guantanamo Bay is a possession or a territory of, you know, the U.S. You got, like...
Right, and that's how it is. I wanted to get Jay's thoughts on it.
Okay, hold on. Just to clarify here, there is a story from History.com claiming that in September of 1977, there apparently was some sort of treaty that would transfer the Panama Canal to Panama. But what you're saying was at the time John McCain was born, it was a U.S. territory. Okay, that would explain why.
That's still BS.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to be clear, though, wasn't John McCain born to two American, quote-unquote, citizens, if you believe the whole idea of citizenship, which is another discussion?
But it didn't matter because he was actually born in the Panama Canal.
Well, why should that matter? I mean, if indeed citizenship is a thing, and they certainly want you to believe that it is, and we can quibble on that later because I don't think it even exists personally, but... If you believe in the concept of citizenship, then if it's two American quote-unquote citizens and they have sex wherever they have sex and they have the baby anywhere in the world, why would it matter on what plot of land they, you know, actually had the baby? It's still got American citizenship, doesn't it?
I have an answer to that. In the case of Alexander Hamilton, remember, he was... I think it was the Indies he came from, and he was brought by parents and adopted and raised in New York. He became representative of New York and Secretary of State, ultimately. Now, you can do that. You can be governor, you can be representative, you can be senator, but president's a different story, you know? It has nothing to do with citizenship has to do with where you actually were born, and that's where the issue comes in.
I don't think that's true.
Citizenship.
I don't think that's true.
I'm not sure on this one, Ian. I promise you.
There is some truth to it. I do know that one thing that's popular. In fact, I've had people try to convince me to do this. You know, when we were pregnant, it was like, hey, you should go down to Mexico and have your baby in Mexico. That way, your baby has dual citizenship as an American and a Mexican. And when America, you know, when it becomes illegal to be a white man in America and they start, you know, genociding everybody for whatever reason, you know, you could at least, you know, be one of the people, your kid could escape to Mexico is like a lot of people that was like sort of their deals, or at least have your kid in some other country that had some kind of dual citizenship, like status deal for that. So that is happening where, you know, Americans, you know, like there is an example of someone I know that they went to Mexico for something. She was pregnant. They were living, I believe, in Arizona or Texas, and something happened down in Mexico. It was, you know, a baby just showed up and came a month early, and everything was, you know, the baby was fine, born, whatever. I think the baby's a teenager now, but that baby has dual citizenship is what they were, you know, pretty happy about. So, but with what do I think about, you know, these, you know, guys being born in the territory, because wasn't Obama, actually, he was born in a different country, not even a territory.
Well, that's why. So that's a little, you know, that was why, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So what I can say is the United States is foreign to, like, the nation state of New Hampshire. It is a foreign entity. The United States is only the District of Columbia, territories, and possession. Like I said, so it's
like we covered that, the one right. That New Hampshire and PA, you covered that with me back on February 23rd this year.
Yeah, yeah. So, thanks for keeping good details there. So
I got a good memory.
Here in New Hampshire, this is how New Hampshire defines a state. This is in Title I, State and Its Government, Chapter 21, Statutory Construction, Section 24, or 21.4, State, semicolon, United States. The word state, when applied to different parts of the United States, may extend to and include the District of Columbia and several territories, so-called.
Like the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that we covered that night.
And the words United States shall include the district and territories. So it sounds like if someone was born in a territory, they would be a United States citizen. And but me, I'm not a United States citizen. I'm not a federal United States citizen. I was born in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is a so my nationality is technically a Massachusettsian, but now I claim
that's a mouthful.
Yeah, so now I claim domicile on the New Hampshire nation and not the United States. I'm on New Hampshire, United States of America, because New Hampshire is a sovereign nation state that is in a federation with other states. So that's kind of how I feel about that.
Hold on a second there, Ricky. I'm sorry, man. I think you're wrong about this. According to the government's own website, if you are born to a U.S. citizen, especially two U.S. citizens, if you're a U.S. citizen, you should report the birth of your child to the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate so they can issue you what they call a consular report of birth abroad, and that would certify that your child was a U.S. citizen at birth.
Okay, so, but if I may give a point here. Now, this
and
is
you could then that child could then run for president someday if they wanted
but
to.
But if I may, and one quick point. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger, now he was born in Austria. Now, he was governor of California, and he was a citizen. Now, if I may, he could have been representative.
But he's not a natural-born citizen. He became a citizen through
I don't think that matters, because you're only talking about citizenship with your example. He was a citizen, and so was McCain.
But he wasn't a natural-born citizen, and John McCain was. That's the difference.
I question that the whole territory thing. You know, I question.
It doesn't matter if it's a territory, and it doesn't matter if it's China. It doesn't matter if you're and I don't know how it works when it's one parent is the citizen and the other one isn't. I think that may change things or not change things. But if both parents are definitely U.S. quote unquote citizens, then the child is by definition a U.S. citizen according to their own rules. But I'm with Jay on this one generally. I don't believe the idea. Thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. Oh, by the way, Ricky, our chatters want you to join the chat server over at chat.freetalklive.com. There's been a request that you join the chat server and join the On Air Now channel. Just go to chat.freetalklive.com to find the instructions. But I'm with Jay on this one. There's been so many different Supreme Court rulings saying the federal government has no obligation to protect you. And the clear definition of citizen, anywhere you look it up, is one who owes a duty of allegiance in return for an obligation of protection. And the federal government says they have no obligation to protect. They've said it countless times. And so, therefore, if they don't have an obligation to protect you, how can you have any kind of duty to them? I mean, clearly, the whole concept is nullified right on its face. But the idea of state citizenship, that could be a thing. I don't know if there's been rulings that state governments don't have an obligation to protect. Wouldn't surprise me if they don't have an obligation, but I've never seen that. There's more coming up here. You can join the show and here on Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the House could vote on a debt ceiling bill as soon as next week. The Republican told reporters he sees a path toward a deal as negotiators from his staff and from the White House continue to hold meetings. This comes as Congress needs to raise the limit to avoid a potential default as soon as June 1st. Parents in New York City are claiming victory after forcing the city to remove migrants out of their school gym. Parent Miguel Chico says he's against having the migrants in his child's school.
School gymnasium isn't a place to put these people in. The gymnasium was built for the children so they can have an education and they can have their gym.
The incident is turning into a flashpoint of the immigrant surge in the U.S. Wall Street closing with stocks higher as comes as hopes grow among investors and lawmakers will reach a deal on the debt ceiling soon. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the idea of citizenship, which, you know, on its face sounds fine. It's a trade deal. On one hand, you give up some rights. I think you actually had a quote that you were just sharing with me off the air. In return, you get something. You give up your rights for certain things. In return, you get protection. You get taken care of, or whatever the deal happens to be. But that deal, if it ever existed, doesn't exist now. But what is the quote you just shared with me?
This is from the New Hampshire Constitution, Part 1, the Bill of Rights, Article 3. When men enter into a state of society, they surrender up some of their natural rights to that society in order to ensure the protection of others. And without such an equivalent, the surrender is void. So
pretty straightforward.
So with the Supreme Court stating that the police have no obligation to protect you, this, I'm going to call this a social contract clause of the Constitution, which, you know, doesn't apply to me. I never agreed to it.
Well, right. Remember, but the definition of the word society, if you go and look in any dictionary, the definition of a society is a voluntary association of people who've come together for a common purpose.
Okay.
Voluntary,
yeah, right,
being the key word of that.
Yeah. And I wonder if you can volunteer unknowingly, because it seems like a lot of people have, based on what I can tell. But basically what this is saying is that if the state doesn't protect you, then you don't have to give up any rights to it. And it's very explicit, and they're not required to protect us. And in fact, you know, just this qualified immunity thing has just created a culture of irresponsibility. And it's gotten really, really like apparent right now, especially with the millions upon it's over 100. The state just has paid out hundreds of millions of dollars, state of New Hampshire, in settling DCYF cases. Over $200 million, including this DCYF Sununu House thing, that where all these kids were being raped. At least 150 of them, and there was some settlement. I don't remember what the study were, but I mean what the numbers were. But $100 million was put aside by the legislature last year just to try to settle this. And I don't know what's come about that. But if you start like when I a year ago when I started researching just settlements of by DCYF. I come up with nearly $100 million in settlements from, like, the less than last 10 years, just basically just going through newspaper articles and tallying up the millions they kept on saying.
I want to go back to the phones here, but first I do want to let you know that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. That's what they've been focusing on since the beginning at Dash, and they're still focused on it, and I think that's really important because that was the original vision for cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. Dash does a great job of it. In fact, Dash is really affordable to use because right now one of the big problems with Bitcoin is the fees. The network fees on Bitcoin have made it useless for purchases. In fact, you were just telling us last week, Jay, that somebody had made a significant donation in Bitcoin to your Man Camp project that you're going to be hopefully doing at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but they made it in Bitcoin, and they didn't set the fee high enough to make it through in any kind of decent amount of time, but it's finally come through.
7 days after the transaction was made.
7 days before it finally got its first confirmation. That's just not, like, you can't do business like that. You know?
No, if I had to, like, turn around and spend that money to do, like, if you,
you
had to wait a week.
It.
Wow, yeah, that really screws you up. And that's where Dash comes in very handy.
Dash is super handy. Dash transactions, you're not going to spend even a cent per transaction for getting that done. They've got some really cool features that have ensured that Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. And from a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible. Its network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their chain lock technology, and there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO, that's their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. We go to your calls and thoughts. Let's talk to Willie. He's in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, the child protection services, I think they're the biggest child traffickers. They're all in the nation right now. I just feel sorry for Jay Moon and everybody that gets involved with them and them sticking their nose in everybody's business and everything that doesn't need to be taken care of. They go in and they do stuff that doesn't need to be done. Who's a bigger moron than them is that Ricky from the Commonwealth. He calls them and nobody's jealous of the Commonwealth. Nobody cares about the Commonwealth. That guy calls in every night about the Commonwealth and his racist antics. I'm tired of him too.
Yeah, so why do you say that DCYF or Child Protection, whatever they call themselves where you live, because there's always a different acronym, why are they child trafficking though? What do you mean by that?
All right, so they get people, they'll give them money for taking kids in, so you, and there's widows that like kids, so they want to get with kids, and they just pass them off to people they don't know, and then they go out and get good people like him, and now.
Yeah, so to say a little more with the caller, to add to it, so what Child Protective Services is doing is they're getting paid by the federal government with the Clinton Child Whatever Act that from 1997, it actually takes the money out of Social Security and it gives it to the states. And in fact, there's a documentary. I got to look that up so we can put it in the show notes. But it's called Save the Children, and it was on, I believe, Band.TV. So it was, one of these InfoWars type documentaries. And in there, in that documentary, and there's actually a website that they talk about that I went to, but they had all the money listed that like these states have gotten from the Social Security Fund for Child Protective Services, and it's like insane amounts of dollars. Mm. So basically what is happening, it is funding this bureaucracy and all the boots on the ground, the social workers, all the people that work, for these agencies are told that, if we don't get more money, you don't get a pension. Mm. This is how your pension works. We have to get more money. We have to constantly expand the system. The same thing with all the school employees. Like one of my relatives was in the Massachusetts school system her entire career, and she was told that the only way that her pension will hold up is if, like, four people replace her, when she retires, that they need, like, and that is sort of kind of the way a lot of these pension funds work. They have to have a whole bunch of people at the bottom putting in for the few collecting at the top. And then what happens when it contracts, it totally falls apart. So if these, except for state employees.
I don't think the state employees are funding the other employees' pensions. It's the taxpayers that are funding that.
Well, it is sort of taxpayers. So the employee is funding it a little bit, from what I understand. Now, this is just what was explained to me. I'm not like a financial guy. I don't really know. But basically, and yes, the employers are funding it also. But
it's like the Postal Service, it's being paid for by the taxpayers.
Correct.
They're not paying for their own pensions.
The example I was given was, state of Massachusetts, school teacher, basically. And she did pay into a pension, like, whatever she could. But the pension was also paid into by the employer, and then they do, I don't know how it all works, but they pay in per employee, so you basically need more employees underneath you paying in to prop up the whole system. It was explained to me like 10 years ago.
Okay.
And sounds like a total Ponzi scheme.
It could be true. If you guys know more about how that works, definitely weigh in on this. Willie, was there anything else you wanted to share about it?
Not on that. I just wanted Ricky to know I can debate anybody. I don't need him to challenge me. He's a racist. I don't like him calling and making fun of all of
you. Oh, you were the guy. Okay. Now I just figured it out. So he called earlier this week. Ricky called earlier this week, and he mentioned a guy, and I think it was Willie, and he said he wanted to have a discussion directly with Willie, and so he wanted y'all to both call in at the same time on the same night. And you're saying, Willie, you don't care to do that. You're not interested in talking directly to Ricky.
I don't need to talk to him directly. I can talk to him right now. He can hear me. Ricky, you're a moron. Any day, any time. I mean, I don't need to talk to him directly. If he needs to, I don't know what he needs,
Well, I guess I'll say this. He did ask for us to invite you. If you call in at the beginning of one of the shows, Ricky's always he's always in at the beginning of the show. I just put him on hold until we're finally ready to get him on, just because he's a chronic caller, so he doesn't deserve to be gone to first or anything like that. So if you're in if you're in the first hour, there's a good chance Ricky's going to be on hold, and then maybe we can get you guys together if you're feeling up to it. But Willie, thanks for the call tonight, man. I definitely appreciate it, because I know Ricky's going to be triggered. I mean, yep. Ricky's going to call back in tomorrow night. All he's going to want to talk about is what Willie had to say.
Anyways, back
so tiresome.
Back to what Willie had to say about the child trafficking. Another thing that Child Protective Services is doing through family courts. Family court is terribly corrupt. So what they do is they seal all this stuff so nobody can investigate what's going on. So reporters can't look into it. So what happens is, a kid is taken into custody by DCYF or CPS. And then the kid is all of a sudden not around. Nobody knows where the kid is. And they just say, oh, the kid's a runaway. Well, what they do not do is they do not report runaways as missing. So what happens is the kid goes missing. A lot of times the parent are like, poor, low class, people who struggle, with symptom or struggle with drugs or addiction, whatever. They're poor people, generally in cities, usually on welfare, some kind of social assistance. And the kid gets taken away, and they're like, oh yeah, you can see this kid, this day or that day. And so what happens is all of a sudden the kid disappears, and then the mom's like, or your mom would be like, oh, you took my kid, put him in a foster home. Where is he or she? Kind of like this Montgomery Harmony, who was a young girl that was gone for 2 years here in New Hampshire while she was in custody of DCYF. And the mother was basically throwing an absolute fit. Where's my baby? Where's my baby? Where's my daughter? The kid was like 5 when she disappeared, and they just, found like she died. And
what?
Yeah, I guess she's dead.
How the hell did that happen?
Like, nobody really knows. This is another.
Hold on. I'm not familiar with this case. So, how did the mom lose the child? Did DCYF just come take the kid, or
mom from what I've been, so it's been like 6 months since I've looked at any of this, but the mom had some kind of substance abuse issue, I think. And
so she get arrested or something?
Something happened. You know, I'm not sure. And but anyways, they took custody of her and they gave the kid to the father.
Okay.
Now, the father, the pictures of the father are pretty crazy. So the father had like a, you know, some prostitute dead in his apartment was one of the stories.
My.
Or some girl dead in the apartment that was some drug addict. But, you know, okay. The word.
So he's kind of a loser.
Yeah. And you guys all like, he looks like he's on walked off the set of Breaking Bad. but anyways, he had custody of, the DCYF took the kid from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
The mother had a fit about this. The mother was complaining, I can't see my kid. Where's my kid? She wasn't barred from seeing the kid or anything, just the father had custody, from what I understand. And then the kid's lost. The little girl's lost, 5-year-old little girl. And then it turns out she's dead. She's dead. And she should be 7 years old right now. So this is what happens when DCYF gets involved.
Did she die? I'm sorry. I don't know that much about it. She died in the dad's custody?
Not sure.
Okay.
I honestly don't know. But
it sounds like a mess.
It's another mess.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens now. Of all of these, like when I did the internet search, New Hampshire DCYF settlements, every report said, oh, there's been a settlement reached with the family, and the family has agreed to hold harmless the state of New Hampshire. It has agreed that, you know, the state of New Hampshire and the social workers and or whoever involved, the employees, are held harmless and they are not of any fault. But they had to pay to people.
The settlement.
$7 million, $5 million, $3 million, whatever, all these millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
to essentially, you know, get them to do that. And it happens in every state. You really watch Save the Babies. That is
that's a documentary.
Great documentary.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Dylan on the line calling, I think, from... Are you in Vermont tonight, Dylan?
Yeah, I am in Vermont.
No, welcome, sir.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, Save the Babies, Jay. We watched that in the last year, and man, is that disturbing. If anybody hasn't seen that, they absolutely have to watch that, because this is what's going on. This child trafficking.
Yeah, well, it's been going on. I mean, it's a tough thing to change the system, because anybody, if you were talking about contacting state reps, Jay, about quote-unquote doing something here, I mean, if a state rep actually proposes to abolish DCYF, of course the opponents will say, oh, my God, you must hate children, right? So then you're going up against that, and that's not an easy thing to do.
And the reality is, if you support DCYF, you hate children, because the proof is in the pudding. The evidence is... Health and Human Services, who controls DCYF, is the most destructive agency in New Hampshire for a multitude of reasons. The hundreds of millions of dollars of liabilities the taxpayers have expelled just in DCYF. And everybody dying of these fentanyl and heroin overdoses, all these people living in these drug encampments around Manchester and Concord and all these places, they are all on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
When I say they're all on welfare, you could probably find one that's not. But they are pretty much all getting some form of money from Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to a national park, when you're in... Trail Ridge National Park in the middle of the Colorado Rockies, they have a sign every 5 feet, do not feed the wildlife. If you feed the wildlife,
right.
they will become dependent on humans and they will not be able to survive. Well, this is exactly what Health and Human Services is doing.
So the whole department really should be abolished, not
absolutely.
Just DCYF.
Health and Human Services should be 100% abolished.
Right, and of course it was the, if I recall correctly, during the COVID nonsense, all the money that was coming in from the federal government was going to DHHS, was it not?
Yes, yep.
Like millions upon millions of dollars
yep.
to promote the federal government's concepts. Dylan, what did you want to share with us tonight?
Well, Jay's going through the ringer and Jay and Shallon with their court case, and so, Jay, did you end up talking to Sherm or checking out Cal Washington?
I did not yet.
Okay, well, as we all know, Jay, you're really versed in common law. Are you familiar with merchant law?
A little bit.
What are we talking about here? What does that mean?
What's that, Shiloh?
Law merchant.
Sorry.
Law merchant probably has to do with commerce, things that would be coming in from another nation, possibly. It's like stuff that's imported, that is received from a ship's berth across a dock. Maritime law stuff.
Is this the gold fringe on the flag thing that we're talking about here?
Could be.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the gold fringe on the flag thing, but this Cal Washington, probably within the last 5 years or so, he went through a huge custody battle up in Canada, and he said that, you know, he did his best to fight, and things didn't work. He would have the right argument, and things did not work. And he was like, what am I missing here? What's going on? And he said that judges even sometimes encouraged him to keep going. They said that he was smart to keep going.
Can you give us an overview of this merchant law? Like, what is this? What does it mean, and how does it apply in the case of child custody?
So, well, I don't know if it's just specific to child custody, but this seems to be the presiding jurisdiction is common law fused with law merchant. And that's above, like, the United States Constitution has been fused into the courts long, long time ago and not talked about. And so even if you go into court and you have all the right arguments and you say all the right things, they've learned to overcome a lot of that stuff over the years. But when you start playing by the right set of rules and you start letting them know that you can hold them liable and you put the liability back on them, they start to not want to deal with you at all. And so that's what happened with him. Cal Washington had judges that were like running off the bench when he started to realize that the law merchant feuds with the common law was the system and the rule book that you have to play by with these guys. And so the premise is that we're falling into all this under tacit agreements. And when you realize that and you let them know you know that, and you tell them, hey, I'm not accepting your offer, and you make a counter offer.
I tried that a long time ago in Keene District Court. It was the first time I got arrested walking into court. I said to the judge, are you making an offer? And he immediately had me arrested, charged with contempt of court.
Yeah, so you knew you were doing the right thing, because when they do those intimidation tactics, so you should, and as soon as you got back out, if I was you, I would have went right back to that.
Well, they had the rest of the trial in a secret chamber, and they refused to put it in front of the rest of the audience, so no one got. Well, they actually had it on like a TV screen in the other room. They moved me into this chamber, and
yeah,
they continued,
so they
can
mute
the trial
you whenever they wanted.
Well, they didn't quote unquote mute it, but you couldn't even hear it really in the courtroom is what the people said. So it was supposed to be public, but it really wasn't. It was a total sham, and then I got hit with, I think, two more contempt of court charges back there in the secret tribunal. So it's an interesting theory, but whether or not these theories actually work in court is a whole other story. Have you actually tried this one, Dylan?
I have not tried it, but Sherm, the gentleman that we recommended Jay to call and talk to, Shiloh, knows him very well, and he actually knows Cal. And so Cal's used it successfully. He said that was the turning point for him when he started using this mercantile stuff and not backing down. So, yeah, they're going to test you.
Where would people go to learn more about this one?
What would you say about that?
I mean, Cal's got his website,
empowermovement.org,
and there's a lot of videos with Cal Washington.
Can't quite make out what she said. What was that, Dylan?
There's a... Cal Washington's website is empowermovement.org.
Empowermovement.org.
But he has a lot of videos as well. And Jay was right. So the law merchant is like a commercial
maritime.
Basically contract agreements for people who are wanting to travel around and trade and stuff. And so what happened is that there was like common law, which actually has a lawful authority, and then this like law merchant kind of just like moved in. And so law merchant is like basically what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with like a lawful authority when we're going to the courtroom anymore. We're dealing with like commercial. It's like business. And how that's supposed to work is, you know, like there has to be an agreement, because they don't have a lawful authority, so they don't have any power over you. You give them the power over you by agreeing, whether you're, you know, agreeing willingly or you just don't not agree, and that's what the tacit agreement is.
Yeah.
And
there's been theories about this for a very, very long time. It's an interesting theory. I would love to see some evidence that it actually works for people. I mean, there's a lot of gurus out there that will claim that they've done these things, but they provide no proof of their claims. There's no video showing this stuff working in court. And I want there to be. I really do.
Do you know of some video or proof of these claims, caller? Shiloh?
I don't know of any videos of him in court.
I don't know about having any videos of him in court. I mean, I can only talk about my own experience, but I definitely do feel like letting them know that you're not in agreement with what they're doing and
yes,
that you're aware
powerful.
that works, just from my experience with, like, traveling and in the courtroom and dealing with, you know, law enforcement as well as judges. You're saying things like, I do not consent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not waiving any of my rights.
I reject your offer to contract with me is something I've been using for years. In fact, it is the first thing I told the CPA, the DCYF people who called us. I don't know if you can see it in a video that I have where I reject their offer to contract with me. I think I do mention that in there. But yes, and I've been doing that with right to travel cases, with, you know, all kinds of like regular traffic ticket type things. And because this is all an offer to contract, and people are just so dumbed down, they don't really understand what's going on. Because another thing that has been going on for generations, everyone's just relying on lawyers to solve these problems for them, and nobody's actually doing it themselves, and parents aren't teaching their kids how to do this. In fact, this is something that we need to start doing here in the Free State Project here in New Hampshire and Vermont. Is we need to start having meetups where we role play court, where we teach kids, you know, as part of the homeschool program, how to write these lawsuits, how to defend themselves, how to exercise their rights. The only reason I got good at it, and I did it a lot, is because, you know, my father was facing 15 years in basically federal prison when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and he had to learn this stuff. You know, he had no choice. So, and I'm here today knowing this stuff because of that.
Guys, can you confirm empowermovement.org is the right website? Because I went there and it took me to a different site that does not look at all like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, check on that, and we'll check back with you here during the news and make sure we get that right. Because I'm pretty sure this isn't the right site. I want to make sure we get that site out there so people can do their own research on this. Hour number 3 is coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils. But what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.